if you try an AI tool, even if it is ChatGPT, and you don't like it or you don't find it to be doing what you need it to do, one, there's an error in the process, right? And it could be you. But two, if you don't like it, move on to the next AI tool. This is what's happening right now. We are in a place where we get to test lots of things for low cost or free cost. There is no barrier to AI entry at the moment. There just isn't.
Hey there, welcome to the Stormwater World Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to this episode of the Stormwater World Podcast. I am super excited about this episode because it matters to you. And it has a lot to do with stormwater and has nothing to do with stormwater. So today we are going to talk about the buzzword, artificial intelligence, AI. And before you roll your eyes and you think, oh my gosh, he's doing an episode because everybody's talking about AI, it's real simple. It's because it's going to change your life. Whether you like it or not, it's going to change your life. And we have a guest here who has just totally gone all in. Friend of mine, so happy that she took the time. She did not have to take the time to come and visit with us today. She is speaking all around the country about AI, meaning people are paying her for the information that she's going to be sharing with you today. So please help me welcome. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for coming. Kristen Couch.
I am so happy principal. To be here.
Oh, great.
Absolutely.
Kristen, yeah. You're the principal of
JM
uh-huh. Idea Agency, yes. Right? And co-founder.
Yeah.
And AI guru. You've got years and years and years of experience. And then you've taken all that experience and you said, full stop. Yeah. This is what's happening in the world. I'm going to go chase it. Yeah. And so you're here today to talk to us about AI.
So not really chasing, although I know you and I have talked about that before. But I've always, Ty, I've always been interested in, I'm going to say weird, I mean, I hate this phrase, but outside the box marketing hacks or techniques, tools, apps, extensions, programs, anything that was just more interesting than normal status quo. And of course, AI has been around since the 1950s. This is nothing new. People should know that it's been in their phones for a while. Obviously, Amazon, Apple, face recognition. I say it quietly, Alexa and Siri, so that they don't hear me answer because they do when I start talking about them. But AI has been around for a long time, and people have already been interacting with it and using the technology, even if they didn't know they were using the technology, right? But when OpenAI launched, the company has been around for almost 10 years, I think. But when they launched this platform called ChatGPT in November of 2022, it hit my radar just like it did a lot of people. And I was like, what's this? This is so interesting. And I was like, wow, this is kind of amazing. And it just fit into the way that I already look at tech. We're a techno-optimist. Like I want to use technology to make my life and my team's life and my clients' life easier. So it just kind of fit. And when you say buzzword, it's in marketing. I hate that only because it's bigger than buzz. It's
exactly.
Bigger than buzz. I don't know. Maybe that's our tagline. It's bigger than buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're in the same way, but when I speak about AI, I've had, you know, there are people who do come and they're like, I want to learn. I want to know. I'm an optimist too, or like a neutral optimist, right? Because we know the challenges and the concerns and stuff like that. But I do have a couple naysayers in the room. I've heard things like, you know, Kristen, we've seen this before. It's just new tech that's going to make us work harder. I had someone at a last seminar, God bless him. He said something like, it's just a search engine.
yeah. Hey, wait, you know, on that thought. So we're old enough not to date us, right? Not to date us, not to, you know, but
the internet
was a fad, right?
Oh my Remember? God.
Like that's how I feel. Yeah. That's how I feel about AI. I feel like, you know, the people are like, oh, the internet's going to, it's just a fad. It's going to go away.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's people out there that have grown up with, and all they know is the internet. There's people that are going to listen to this pod. All they know, they have no idea what I'm even talking about. Like, wait a minute, what the internet? The internet wasn't going to even stay. It was going to be a fad. And so we're back at there. That's where we're back to. AI is the equivalent of those people going,
Yeah, right. So what was really interesting about this last gentleman who said it's just a search engine, I started to, you know, I put my patient face on and I'm educating and I'm going to be the techno-optimist and I'm not just going to dismiss him. And I start to talk, but there were about 10 or 15 like IT people in this room, along with some AEC leadership as well. But the IT people started to fight back. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't have to just say, no, it's not just a search engine, but people who get it. And we're starting to, you know, get that kind of those networks around us, you know? So yeah. Anyway,
well, you know,
and that was a long drawn out way of you and I like to look at new stuff. I think we definitely have that in common. Yes. And tech especially, but AI is here to stay. It is not a fad. It is not a trend. It is not just a buzzword. It's amazing.
And I think like with all things that take on a lot of heat and go viral, and then you get a lot of weirdness and misinformation out there, whatever you want to call it. Let's take a step back, because like you mentioned, AI, the term artificial intelligence, and whether or not it's in the form of an algorithm and choosing what you're purchasing or what we should show you on the internet versus what we're talking about with this quote unquote new AI or, you know, large language models, right? Yeah. And I think we should start there for everybody, because I think that's where they get confused. Because you go to Google, you search. You go to ChatGPT if you don't know any better, you don't know what you're really looking at. There's a search bar. So you, instead, I'm doing is just asking questions versus just typing in phrases like I would do in Google. What's the big deal? So do you want to expound a little bit? Because I think that will help a lot of people clear up like what we're excited about, right? We're not just excited about artificial intelligence. We're excited about what the tech is actually doing behind the scenes with the information it has available.
Okay. So the first thing I would say is probably, unfortunately, when ChatGPT hit the market, actually, I'm going to step back if that's okay. All right. So I always do a primer when I do my presentations. I'll be very quick about this. The way that AI works is very complex, but it's not complicated. The first thing you have to do is a person or even AI now has to give the AI model a prompt. You have to give it directions. You have to give it instructions. And there's all these other courses out there about how to be really good at prompting. The second thing it does is it goes to look for information from a knowledge source or a database, or and it looks for the information that you have asked it to go look for. It is trained to do so by a computer scientist or a code, you know, what do they call it? Code scientist, code person,
software
engineers, but they're trained. Yeah. It's trained by a software engineer. That's a great one. Thank you. And then it gives you an answer or an output. So when ChatGPT came out, its knowledge base was the internet pre-2021. So I feel like people's early usage of ChatGPT probably led them astray because they could use it for search from the internet, and therefore they just looked at it like a search engine, right? But it is not just that. But maybe ChatGPT got them thinking it was just that because that's how it really started in its first couple of months. But something about again, I am not a computer scientist. I am not a software engineer, and I use my hands a lot. And when we talk about copyright issues and things like that too, people are like, well, it's just Grammarly or it's spell check, or, you know, it's just changing a part of a picture. AI doesn't actually do that. The way AI functions is it actually takes what it's being asked or the knowledge base. It completely dissolves it into a nothing point, and then it recreates it back up, which is why it is called generative AI. And there is something very particular about the process that makes it special when it generates an output. So people have asked me, we may be getting all over the place here, but people ask me too, like when they generate something from ChatGPT or any AI model, what are the chances that you and I will get the same answer? It's almost infinitesimally non-existent that will happen because of the way how AI dissolves and rebuilds. And so that's the difference. It's not just looking through information like Google or Bing in their, you know, pre AI days, You know, they had an algorithm that was just a computer program that was trained to look for things like the SEO and keywords and et cetera, which we're all marketers know, to go find those things in order to then start to give a list back to people. AI is actually looking through all the data that it can, if you're using it to search the internet, to then come up with answers to your question based on a regeneration of the information that it's finding. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense to me. And I think, you know, I mean, just to, you know, just to, I don't know. I don't know if there is a way to reiterate or clarify or whatnot. It's just a different.
It's absolutely different.
It's completely different. Yeah, uh-huh. It's just different.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I, if I guess if I could say one thing to those that did listen to this, if you go play with a ChatGPT, if you play with Claude, if you play with Perplexity, if you play with any of these, you know, softwares that are out there that are generative and based on a large language model, just give it a chance.
Yeah.
Don't like, just play with it, yeah. Do some Googling, do some research, because I promise you that the term prompt engineer, the title prompt engineer will be, it's already a job.
Yeah.
It's already going to be a job that people are going to, like, different companies and different, completely different industries will hire people.
Yes.
For prompt engineering.
Who can.
Specifically to go in to evaluate processes and to come up with ways that, because what we've just talked about just in the last 10, 11 minutes is taking that whole thought of I'm typing and searching. It's spitting out some sort of information. That's the scratch of the scratch. We haven't even talked about other triggers where AI is in between. Yeah. It's in between a process that you don't even see, and it's taking data and it's putting it over here into a spreadsheet, and it's eliminating, you know, and people are like, oh, it's going to eliminate jobs. No, relax. You're going to be just fine, right? Just kind of keep up with the times. That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this stuff.
Absolutely.
But if you're a small business owner, or if you're somebody that's, you know, paying attention, if I could have something that generated and filled out a spreadsheet to where instead of you're copying and pasting, it's just going and doing its thing, and I could reduce 10 hours a week in a process that's repetitive, how much time did I just free up for your admin or that other person that they could be doing more productive things?
Right.
That's where, we
talk about reclaiming time. I talk about reclaiming time all the time, you know, like when we get our time back. One of the things, so what I would also say about OpenAI, ChatGPT, or AI models at the moment as well, when it first came out in November of 2022, I was like, okay, this is amazing. And then, of course, all the other apps and tools and programs and extensions kind of came out because they were being built on these platforms. And I was kind of off of OpenAI for a couple of months until probably about last September or so when it said that it went multimodal. So I want to explain that to your audience as well. Which is just another part of, okay, again, I explained the process. You give it a prompt, you ask it instructions, it goes to look for information, it does its thing based on how it was coded, and then it gives you an output. So the multimodal aspect, I don't know if you played with it, Ty, or not, but a lot of people in the AEC industry, they were like, well, when can it read an image? And I'm like, well, it can. So it can obviously read images right now. You can upload images, you can upload PDFs, and you can work off of these documents. As again, AI is very, very good at going through large amounts of data points instantaneously. I don't know what's faster than instantaneously, right? But huge amount of data points to give you back answers. So it can actually look at photographs right now. And I've had a lot of people in AEC will say, well, when can it do red lines and QAQC? That's the next step. So if it can read one photograph or image, and it can read another photograph or image, it could be being built in a basement right now. It's going to be able to refer between the two images about what is correct and what isn't correct. And so just I don't know. It's all of a tangent. I always talk about the thing too, when we talk about AI, and I should have started taking notes when you were talking, because you can talk about one very specific thing, but it extrapolates out to 100 different topics. It's not just like it goes from here to here and linear. It literally goes to 100 different things, and those things go to 100 different things. And it's just, I always say it's like the movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. It just, AI is, it's so much. It's not just text generation. It's not just image manipulation. It's so much more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and it can become a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to overwhelm everybody, but I will say, like, and to your point, I believe Autodesk, is it Autodesk, the big CAD mm-hmm. software? Mm-hmm. I think they have something built in. Like, I think if they haven't launched it, it's coming.
So they have.
Because I thought I saw something.
Right. So what I'll say to that is, and this goes back to your point about misinformation. So, and especially over the past year or so, people are like, too much information is coming. Then they block it out. They don't want to listen to it. It could be misinformation. It could just be overwhelming information. You know, take it as you will. It's too much. And I see it myself. But at this point, I feel like I take the deep breath and I start to filter it out and sort it out. I can spot things I think that I'm like, that makes no sense whatsoever. But it would be very, very confusing to someone who doesn't research this stuff as much as we do, right? My point is this. I had a point. Ty, I lost it. Just give me a second. Please hold.
I was talking about Autodesk.
Yeah. So a lot of the companies that are coming out or have touted AI, it's not really AI. It's a very cool new program, believe it or not. It's awesome and it's really amazing, but they're using it as the buzzword and they're like AI. And so, but it's not really AI. It's just a cool new program, or it's somebody's written new code for it. Autodesk, I'm not an expert on Autodesk. I know that they have some AI capabilities, but not big true AI throughout their platform. But again, they're a big elephant in the room, whatever you want to call them. They'll be acquiring companies left and right to make sure that they are not behind this at all.
Do we want to talk about maybe just some practical applications? Would you have anything that you'd want to share that may just help people kind of wrap their brain around it from a, you know, and I know you spend a lot of time on different companies. I know we're talking about a really small subset of AEC and stormwater, but I mean, just anything practical that could just give somebody an aha moment that you want to share.
Yeah. So a lot of the times when I'm doing seminars, I'm like, you know, at the very beginning, I was like, all right, who's used, you know, AI? Nobody. Who's used, you know, ChatGPT? And like a couple hands went up. Most hands go up now, but I'm like, all right, keep your hands up. And then do you have the paid version, which is $20 a month, right? And almost all the hands go down, which I'm still really surprised about. It's 20 bucks. It's the best 20 bucks you will ever spend. I highly recommend you go give me your $20. You can do it by the monthly, you know, just sign up for it and go look at it. Because number one, first of all, people are like, well, is it taking my information? You can turn that off in the paid version. You can turn off training the data set or the model. You can turn off your chat history. That gives you a little added layer of protection. And you and I could talk about the amount of regulations that the U.S. has around AI in about a nanosecond, because there aren't any.
So like, what was it recently, like NVIDIA, was it NVIDIA that uploaded, like, I think it was, or was it somebody out of Samsung, like they uploaded their entire proprietary database to ChatGPT and it got leaked out. I think that's hilarious. Like, I mean, those guys are some of the smartest guys on the planet.
Oops. But ChatGPT, a lot of the major players right now, Copilot, and I'll just say Copilot Pro, which is, okay, let's talk about the lack of marketing among the big firms at the moment. Hold that thought, because we'll talk about that in a second. All right. But on ChatGPT Pro, not Pro, Plus version 4, which they're coming out with version 5, I think imminently. But $20, again, it gives you the little privacies in the settings where you can turn off training the model. You can turn off your chat history. It also then gives you the ability to upload PDF files or images or documents so that you can actually, and I'm just going to say it, you talk to your information. We are having a conversation with our information. AI tools in big platforms, you don't actually have to learn how to use the program anymore. You have to learn how to talk to AI, which is why the prompt engineering is so important. Understanding how to ask the question or give the instructions to the AI is critical of you getting what you need out of it. So also in that in that process, I told you, you know, ask the question, go look for answers, trained on by the software engineer and give an output. Like there's so many possibilities of user error, you know, the user error, like it's your fault that the AI isn't working actually. So that's a whole nother conversation. But you can upload photographs, you can upload PDFs and talk to them. And then of course, in OpenAI ChatGPT paid version right now, you probably played with them yourself. And this is where it gets to the weird marketing words. You can go build your own AI assistants. And OpenAI has yes. lovingly named them GPT. So now it's GPTs and ChatGPT. It's like, it's confusing for everybody. But you can actually build your own AI assistants, assistants, A-N-T-S. And what I mean by that is it will walk you through the ability to create these own little things that will run just in your subscription. There was a point to this. And but the process that I just said, you're actually now the person that's coding it, but you don't even have to know how to code. You just have to tell it what to do, but you're going to give it the instructions and you're going to give it the knowledge base to go look for instructions. So for example, in our, I built a CRM out of it. We had a CRM platform. I have a small business. You have a small business. The big platforms don't work for us. They're too expensive. So we had all of our client relationship contacts in an Excel spreadsheet with some notes. I created the Jam network, you know, GPT for me. I uploaded our Excel spreadsheet and now I can just talk to that document and just say, I need client X. I need, you know, give me all the, you know, Brian's in my client. Who's the client that likes football, you know, whatever. So it's my own little CRM system that I have built in a GPT. I have built GPTs to analyze RFPs and RFQs. I have built a GPT that I also train on business development, and I have workbooks and I built a book around it. So I actually uploaded that information into this GPT, and it's that one that can be shared. If you want to just, you know, email me, I'll give you the link, but you can ask it about business development and how to move forward in a business development strategy, making a plan, clients, targeting, go, no go decisions, proposals, interviews, you know, all of that stuff. So anything that you think of that you can, you need help with asking or doing this kind of one task really, really well, you can go build your own assistant. I don't know if that's, I hope that's clear. It's probably as clear as mud really to people who haven't played with it yet, but yeah.
Well, I mean, we could reword it, right? Like you can create your own database. Like, correct. So most, hopefully everybody understands, you know, database, yeah. right? Or you, your own deck of cards. Right. So if the internet is this one deck of cards yeah. and you've got ChatGPT looking through that 52 cards for the answer, you could create your own deck of yeah. cards. Right. Yeah. And so it's called a custom GPT. So you could upload the Clean Water Act. You can upload yes. regulatory documents. You could upload yeah. all of your case studies from your particular company into this one database. And now when you prompt your custom stormwater yeah. GPT yeah. is going to look at that data and give you an answer through that lens. Great. And that's cool.
Yes, very, right? very cool.
In fact, it's cool. And it's very cool that you went so far as to take your own personal clients, yeah. to upload them to where you can basically talk to an interface and update clients and update yes. notes and kind of see what's happening, yeah. which I mean, that again, sky is the limit yeah. because now you could create your own pipelines and you could put dollar amounts and stuff. Yeah. You could do a lot of stuff and then just ask it because it's a closed
for $20 yeah, a month.
For $20 a month. $20 a month, which also gives you access to a lot of now the custom GPTs that are out oh. there that they are plugged into.
Right. So when you
right. So and we can't even go into all that. But you can. If you want to touch on that, go ahead.
I'm just going to touch on it because when you build GPTs for yourself with these personal AI assistants, you can keep them private to yourself. You can share them through a link with other people who have ChatGPT 4.0, the paid version, or you can actually publish them to the public because OpenAI has created a GPT store. And so when people are like, what does that mean? Well, if you just look at your I'm going to say iPhone, even though I know not everybody has an iPhone, but it's like an app store, but it's like an app store right. for OpenAI and ChatGPT. So even though I've built a business development GPT for myself and for whoever wants to use it, you can go in there and just search for other business development GPTs that people have built. And there's maybe hundreds, right? I think there's this was like a couple of weeks ago, there were 3 million GPTs already in the public store. And right now they're free, but they've also promised to be able to monetize them. So people that are building really good GPTs are going to be able to make money off of them sometime soon as well. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. But you mentioned a couple of others. So if I was going to tell like someplace, and I don't have any, I'm not affiliated with OpenAI. I wish I was. I wish they had an affiliate link, but they don't. But I would really put the $20 towards the paid version of ChatGPT. I'm currently looking at my screen right now. Now, again, remember we talked about how they're using words confusingly for their marketing. So Microsoft, if you're a Microsoft shop out there, they have their AI component is called Copilot. Now, I am looking at my screen right now, and I have Copilot Pro, which is my personal, in the corner. So I've got that. I also, they've renamed their Bing search platform as Copilot as well. And then if you are actually a Microsoft business, you can buy, it's an additional fee on top of your existing Microsoft license per person per month. And it is called, it's called Copilot for Microsoft 365. So it's Copilot everywhere. So when I'm talking about Copilot to audiences, I'll have people go, well, I think I have it. I can see it. And I'm like, no, that's Copilot, which used to be Bing. It's out there. You probably don't have, you'd know it if you had it. You can open up any of your Microsoft platforms, whether that's Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, Microsoft Word. What am I missing? And the Copilot icon is sitting right there on your browser. Now, people have also asked me then again, so is that stealing our information? What is that looking for? Right now, that AI is not plugged into any knowledge base per se. It is just truly helping you talk to the platform easier than you are already doing at the moment. So, and I make the assumption that anybody who has Microsoft right now, we've already given them our presumption of security. I don't think anybody else is looking at my Outlook emails. When I open a Word document, I don't think anybody else is looking at that. When I'm creating a PowerPoint, I don't think anybody else is looking at that. So I'm going to assume 99.9% that right now they're not stealing any of that data. They have no reason to do that. Because they are trillions upon trillions of dollars into this game, and they're in it. So the Copilot that's sitting inside of Microsoft 365 right now is truly AI for those particular programs.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you touched on it a little bit before, but do you want to share, like, so you had mentioned, you know, writing RFQs, writing documentation and stuff like that. I mean, that's obviously something that could become a time saver.
Oh my God. Yeah.
For so many, I mean, so many companies, if everything can be loaded up into one spot. I mean, so imagine, if you will, so you got everything uploaded, all the previous documentation, all the previous RFQs, yep. And then, you know, and then everybody. So if the latest and greatest, like, bios of the people that are going to be partnering on this document, there's always this chase for all this updated information, constant. But so long as it's all uploaded somewhere, like we all doing it on a drive somewhere, but if that drive was encompassed inside of a AI database, right, then that new person that says, oh, I've got to write a thing, they could say, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 you know, blah, blah.
You are an expert. Yes. How would that be? You are an expert request for proposal coordinator and writer. Yeah. Please write the following, you know, proposal for this project, blah, blah, blah. These are the people that are, please include the bios from these particular people, you know, on and on and on. Yeah. And then boom, and it just goes, and it's going to look at all that stuff, and it's going to give you, you know, depending on how well you prompt it, you know, it's going to get you, you know, 85-90% there, maybe, you know.
I think it's getting better also. It's getting better every second, and especially when it can learn off of your, which brings us to the idea of clean data, right? So if you're thinking about creating your own knowledge base, like let's just go back to that process, you give it the information for the knowledge base. I always ask people, if you had to start today and build a knowledge base, are your documents, are they accurate? Are they clean? What would you actually put into an AI model or knowledge base right now? a lot of people say, yeah, I think we're okay. And then most of the room was like, we wouldn't put anything in it right now. Because they know their documents aren't
dead. Yeah, not good. No,
well,
good.
They're probably okay, maybe like 75%, but we don't want to put 75% into a model because then we have 25% not good, you know, or inaccurate. So one, this is just a weird side note, but one of the latest images to come out or infographics is that ChatGPT hallucinates, I think, 3% of the time. It has like a 97% accuracy rate. And so when I talk about that, I've got people in the room go, that's unacceptable. 3% is awful. And I'm like, I'll take it. It's not awful to me. And I would bet that our human inaccuracy rate is much higher than 3%, right? So anyway, that's just a fun side note. But we go back to, if you really had to start to, like when I created, I have a proposal one as well, I told you. And I don't upload all of our proposals. You know, Lori and I, when we do our proposals for clients, I took the best ones and uploaded them as examples for the AI to scour through. I didn't upload the ones that I don't like. So you want to put, and that's what I say is clean data. It's clean information. It's accurate information. How would you train your model if you had it? So,
Or you know, I mean, again, here we go. Sky's the limit. Let's upload the winning ones in one section. Right. Let's upload the losing ones in another section. Let's let the model look and see what could we have done better when we're creating the next one, right? Yeah. You know, and I'm with you. I think if I wrote something that's 1,000 words and you know, 3% was off or something. But here's another thing to think about too. And from a time saving standpoint, you can produce documents whether it's outline. Are trying to produce full documents or whatnot, and ChatGPT does hallucinate. But guess what? You can copy and paste from ChatGPT over into Claude. And now I'm really going super nerd for you. And you can say, Claude, you are a professional copywriter and proofreader. And I'd like you to review this article and let us know, you know, does it meet XYZ standards? Regardless, you know, and Claude will do it, and it'll tell you, oh well, this is wrong or this is inaccurate.
Yeah. So
right?
For your audience, what they should know is Anthropic is a unicorn company. It was founded by I think two computer scientists who left OpenAI. They created their company called Anthropic, and their ChatGPT competitor is called Claude. And I think it was less than a month ago, they announced, so Claude was free and you could play with it. But I think less than a month ago, they announced their three-tier pricing. I think it's Poet, Sonnet, and then Opus. And Opus is the $20 a month per user seems to be that magic dollar amount right now. But I immediately signed up for it. And I'll give you a really good example. So I always tell people, and you just mentioned it earlier as well, if you try an AI tool, even if it is ChatGPT, and you don't like it or you don't find it to be doing what you need it to do, one, there's an error in the process, right? And it could be you. But two, if you don't like it, move on to the next AI tool. Like this is what's happening right now. We are in a place where we get to test lots of things for low cost or free cost. There is no barrier to AI entry at the moment. There just isn't. So if you don't like something, cut your losses there and move on. And I will give you an example. I was using ChatGPT to analyze some interviews. And I was in it for a good 2 hours trying to figure out where I was going wrong in the process. Was it user error? Was I not giving enough context? Was I not asking it in the right way? Was I not giving it good enough examples? But it was not giving me what I needed. And then I said, well, Kristen, please take your own advice. And so then I went to Claude and tried something out there and perfection. And I was like, so I've learned my lesson myself. I teach, you know, you teach something and then you're like, please take your own advice. But what I will say about Claude, so I find Claude to be far superior right now, just for the moment, in writing and generating. But Claude has no security parameters in place, even for the paid versions. So the things that I feel comfortable doing with ChatGPT because of their privacy versions, I do not feel comfortable doing the same thing with Claude. So I have to be really, really careful about what I put into Anthropic or Claude. That doesn't mean they may not put the security in tomorrow, but right now, no security in Claude. And you also mentioned Perplexity. Perplexity is also a unicorn, which means that the company has hit, I think, $1 billion in investment in a year, at 1 year, with no, they didn't go public on stock and they haven't been sold to a third party. So I think I just saw yesterday, out of the thousands of big companies that have launched in the past 2 years because of AI, 143 are unicorns, 143 new billion-dollar companies in the past year and a half. Anyway, that's a side note. So Perplexity is one, and I really like them because they are, it's a search engine. I use the verb Google, but I don't Google anymore. Probably haven't now for about 2 months. Perplexity is my absolute, the search engine that I use all the time. And it does have also levels of privacy in it. So of all the ones out there, even Microsoft, Microsoft Copilot, the free version, I think there's Pi, I think there's Poe, there's Claude, and those do not have the privacy, you know, safety measures that I am comfortable with. But Claude is mind-blowingly amazing at the moment.
And you're the second person in the last 30 days, less maybe, that has said that they use Perplexity for their search. So we're kind of digging into it. Like another gentleman that I know that we actually just sat through at one of his presentations. His name's Jonathan Mast. Mm-hmm. Feel free to look him up on Facebook. He's got a group for prompting. It's pretty amazing what they do in that group and what he does for his company. But sat through his presentation, and he as well said that he's just using Perplexity. Yeah. And he's just using Perplexity at this point just for on the free side.
Yeah.
And here's the crazy thing.
Perplexity is for free for me as well. I've looked into the
I've looked into the
paid version, and I think the two extra things that it offers just weren't interesting for me at the moment. But if they asked me to pay right now, I would do it. I mean, if they were going to take it away from me, I probably would pay. So I shouldn't tell.
And I thought, and I hadn't, don't put that out in the ether. I want to play with it some more. I have heard good things about Perplexity. I've also heard, and you can verify this, that you can take articles and whatnot and put it in a Perplexity, again, as a proofreader, mm-hmm. and Perplexity will actually look up context and provide you a citation.
Yes, they do that. So that's so...
Which is pretty freaking cool when you're doing...
Correct.
You know, depending on the type of writing you're doing.
Right. So when you ask a question in Perplexity, it's going to give you its AI generated answer, but it's also going to put those citations in and give you links right back to those citations, which I think is really interesting. And again, no offense to Google anywhere, like their algorithm that they're using is now people can beat the algorithm, you know, and their whole entire business model is, if you pay the most, you're going to come up in a search, you know, or you can beat the algorithm by keywords and metadata and all this stuff. And Perplexity, I just find it to be refreshing. It's not giving me the top five answers of somebody that's paid for it. It is really scouting the internet for the real answers that I'm looking for. And when it first came out, what I really liked about it was, well, first, I think also you can put a profile in for yourself, which sounds creepy to some people, but it gets to know you better. So it understands how to answer you. It's learning about you. And then also it gives prompts after you ask it a question. So if I just put in like, you know, I need new headphones, it will start to ask questions to better answer where you're trying to get, instead of, unlike Google, just bringing up whoever has the best keyword for headphones. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. I've got three other ideas, you know, that we're going to go a little longer, folks. So, you know, might as well just, if you don't already
Settle
have your
in.
Seatbelt on, you might want to put it on. So a couple of things on that is, one, I totally did the same thing.
I totally lost it. Different points.
You know, it's Perplexity. I don't know. It'll come back.
I'm gonna go back to what something you said though. Go ahead.
No. So just to help people out, again, something that Kristen just mentioned, but I want to clarify it because I want you all to be better prompters, mm-hmm. so that you get a better experience, right? So when you do your prompt at the end, you can always say, you know, give me X, Y, and Z. Or you know, you should really start out with, you are an expert in what? Tell ChatGPT to train ChatGPT what it is. Tell it what it is, because it's gonna do that. I know, which is crazy. So it's gonna do that. Then you ask it what you want, and then you ask it. Then you say, and please ask me any questions that you need to be able to fulfill my request and give me time to respond. Yeah. And it will literally do all those things if it feels like it's got some holes, and your responses will come out way better.
Yeah, there's, again, like we said, there's so many classes out there on prompting, but the real truth is you have to give it this is so simple. Maybe as marketers, we're just designed this way to give information, but you have to give it a role. You need to give it some, you know, directions. You need to give it some context. If you can give it an example, one of the GPTs that I built in ChatGPT, I said, write like Kristen. So I pulled about 10 writing samples. I have a very distinct way of writing. I pulled the samples. I uploaded that as a knowledge base. And now every time I give it a topic to start to write on or information, and I'm like, can you write this like Kristen? It's a GPT that is built to write like me. So I have help writing like me. It's kind of awesome. But now I've lost it again too. My God, it's contagious.
That's okay. I'm going to jump on that thought quick, because let's say you, go ahead.
You were talking about, you were talking about like comparing things, but a good example of this as well, like if there's any HR people in the room, or, you know, going through resumes is, I'm not going to cuss here, but it's awful, right? So,
it is awful.
So ChatGPT or any AI model that you want to use right now, you can upload the actual job description. You can upload the resume, and you may ask the AI to compare the two. You can upload a job description. You can upload 100 resumes in a PDF file and ask it to find the resumes that fit the criteria for what you have asked. That's instantaneous. So even 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, Ty, when we were looking for marketing coordinators or, you know, proposal coordinators, and we have all the ones coming across the desk, I know what the job description is because I wrote it, and I'm looking for the keywords that I'm looking for in the resumes, right? And I'm highlighting them and going through them. And I know it's important because we need the people. Recruiting is a huge problem in AEC firms, maybe across the world, I'm not really sure. But a huge time, you know, suckage. Going through finding the stuff, well, I could just do that with AI right now. So anyway, just there's the possibilities are endless. You say what you were going to say, and then if you will come back to me, and the remember word is what we were talking about earlier. What do you like to do during your day? What do you not like to do during your day? Okay, but you go first.
During the day? No, I wanted to piggyback on what you're saying about writes like Kristen. So let's say you haven't written a lot of stuff, and you're not, you know, you're not KK, and you don't have all this
novels and all this
plethora, right? So how do you do it for you, right? Because if you prompt, you know, and as you get in there, again, we're just trying to encourage you to stick your toe in it to see what's going to happen, because it's gonna revolutionize a lot of things. But you could actually, so ChatGPT understands Myers-Briggs. If you've ever heard of Myers-Briggs, if you've ever heard of DISC, any of the big personality tests, you can go to 16personalities.com. You can go get a free test, find out what you are, right? And then you can literally have ChatGPT write something for you, and you go, oh, now here, and this is two things, because something else I want to circle back on. When you search in Google, that's it. You searched it, it's kind of over. That's what you got, and you kind of got to start over. Right. So it's like you're starting over a new conversation. It's like you're asking, it's literally like you're standing in front of 100 people, and you're asking 100 people a different thing, and you're having 100 different conversations to get the one result you desire. Yeah. When you are working within a ChatGPT session, if you don't like what you see, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can take sections of it. You can say, hey, can you rewrite it like this? Can you do this? Can you expand on it? And now you're actually having a conversation with just that one person trying to get this one result and defining and redefining it. And I think that's a big difference, right? Of then, you know, just of Google search.
Yeah.
But you can literally figure out what you are, and you can say, write it as an INTJ. write it as an INTJ plus a DI or whatever. If you're not familiar with those personality types, go figure that out and then you'll understand what I'm saying. And it will rewrite it.
In AI
itself.
Techno optimist female who wants to retire for her cats. That might be too specific. something that you mentioned again. So like we mentioned the prompt again, role, give it instructions, context, examples, you know, feedback. If you do not know how to prompt, and many people do not, and that's completely okay. I have a list of, in time, maybe I'll do this too. I'll send you the PDF document. And if anybody comments to you or whatever, or they can comment to me, you can give them my information and I'll send them.
We can provide whatever you want. We can provide links in the show notes.
Okay. So I have a Notion site that probably has right now almost 2000 tools searchable right now. But I also have a very specific, about 3 or 4 pages specifically for marketing, BD, and sales. But my point of the story is, if you are not comfortable with prompting, there are lots of sites out there who are trying to make it easy for you. Even my ChatGPT, I have a Chrome extension that's plugged into it, and it has like easy buttons. And so it's set up where it's like, you know, write a blog title, SEO, press release. And so if you don't know how to prompt these tools, they're really trying to help you. I think I mentioned WriteSonic. My brain is going blank at the moment. There are a couple out there where you can just click the buttons of things that you want to do, and it will start to walk you through what it needs from you in order to give you what you want. So.
Right. And my whole thing is just don't give up. You know, that's why I keep bringing it back around, because I feel like that's the sticking point, is because you just feel like you give it 2 seconds, you kind of spit something out at you, and take it like this. Here's another mindset, right? If for anybody, you know, that's ever trained a coworker, brand new coworker,
I was going to say that you
job,
just
or hired
stole
somebody.
My idea.
What? I'm just saying, like, you know, what I'm saying is that you go to train somebody, and if you took somebody on the first day of their job and said, "Here, write me a proposal."
Right.
And that's their first day. They don't know where anything is. They don't know nothing. They just at a desk. Their computer barely just turned on. Write me a proposal. That proposal is going
to
absolutely suck.
Or they're not going to be able to
period.
Do it.
I don't care how good they are.
Yes.
Or it's going to be way off in left field because they don't know that company. They don't know the data behind it. And so that's why the prompting is so important.
Yeah.
You've got to train ChatGPT just like you would train an employee. But man, once you've got that employee trained, you're off to the races.
And what happens if you train that employee permanently in your own GPT? You never have to really train it again. You can still give it new information and upload it. I love that analogy so much. I don't want to give the human attributes, you know, I don't want to create artificial general intelligence at the moment, but and not get too many human attributes to AI. But if you think about that, if you think about AI, I call it a coworker with some caveats. The coworker that you actually like, there are a lot of.
Oh my goodness.
You have to like the coworker. You have to want them to succeed because you want to look good, right? Like you want them to help you help them. So if you do think of it this way, exactly, you have to train this thing. And then I think we lose a lot of people there because like, oh my gosh, it's just more, we have to learn this thing. And I'm like, it is not like another computer program. You are not going to have to constantly, you know, this again, you're never going to have to learn a program. You're going to have conversations with it. So for other computer software, you put in this much effort and you get out, you know, this much effort. With AI, I think it's like this much effort, and then the amount you get out is infinite. Infinite possibilities of what you will get out if you just give it a little bit of time. I have a very dear friend of mine. He runs an MEP firm. Love him dearly. I was like, I have to come in and talk to your company about just AI because I would be doing you a huge disservice even as a friend if I did not, you know, do this. And he was like, I tried it, you know, kind of like what you said. He's like, I tried it and I asked it some stuff and it was wrong. And this was also a year ago. And I'm just like, just give it time. Give it time, or we're not training the model right. But when I told his company about AI, the first thing that these guys said was something you said earlier. Are you telling me I can upload the codes and regulations and just ask questions? And I said, absolutely, you can do that today. And to go back to people who think it's just a computer program, they're like, I can upload a PDF with PDF Reader and search words. That's not what it is.
No.
It's not going through the document looking for the, you know, for the word, you know, ampersand or whatever, if that's what you're looking for. It is you are asking questions of this information that it has digested and understands. Oh my God,
it's going to give you an answer in context. It's not just, we're not talking about a clapper, you know, it's not on, clap off. We're not turning the light on and off. Yeah. It's literally trying to figure out
whether inventing electricity.
Can we do better than that light? Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
New energy. It's not a clapper.
It's going to come back and tell you, maybe you should replace that light with an LED light because it's going to last longer and it's going to do a lot more than just turn it on. But let's circle back around. You were mentioning day to day.
Might be a good way to end. I know we've had people's attention for a while now. And what I like to say, people are like, where do I start? Right. And maybe they ask you the same question, like, what's the tool I should use? And I'm like, okay, that's really disingenuous of me to give you an answer. I'd be a really bad consultant if that's where we started, because what works for me may or may not work for you. And there are a million AI tools out there at the moment and growing every day. So this is where I tell people to start. And you can just get your old school pen and paper out, you know, stick it next to your computer, and you start writing down what you do during your day. And I don't mean like, you know, talking to Ty, you know, or whatever. I'm like, but the bigger picture stuff is like, maybe you're waiting on, or maybe you're doing timesheets, or you're trying to get receipts, or I'm trying to generate, or I'm brainstorming an idea, or I'm spending an hour creating a video, or I'm, you know, whatever that is, whatever your day looks like. And then I guarantee if you go through that and you also assign how much time you've spent on these things, we'll find AI tools that can do each of those things, either help you do them better or get them off your plate completely, or delegate them. And then we find the AI tool and we look at the price, and that's the kind of mental chart that I look at when I try to figure out how much I'm spending on tools, but how much time is it really saving me? You started this whole entire conversation off in that specific example. And I will talk about, learning from what I teach. So I may have talked to you about this. So about a month and a half ago or so, I lost complete control of my calendar. And because I consult and I do lots of interviews with leadership, I have to schedule those interviews with people. And if anybody's tried to schedule, it takes an inordinate amount of time. It's insane. And I lost control of my calendar and I just thought, what is happening? And then I was like, Kristen, you're an idiot. Go look for AI that can help you with this. So I found an AI tool. It controls my calendar, and it costs, I think it was like $250 a year or something. So what, like, you know, what is that? $20 a month. Is that right? $20-something dollars a month.
Yeah.
And people are like, that magic number of $20 a month. Okay. That's $20. But it's saving me, and I have the number somewhere, it's saving me 1 to 2 hours a week. So that time, and when you start to add these AI tools up, I have a list because I'm about to do a little recording of all the tools that I actually use. And I think I'm saving 14 hours a week right now just on AI. Now, as I told you, I'm filling those hours trying to keep up with AI. So there's one thing.
But
it's about 14 hours a week on just things that I'm saving time on, and remarkable, right? So I will tell your audience, because I did add it up. Someone asked me how much I spend. Personally and professionally, I'm spending about $3,000 a year on AI at the moment. Like true AI, and that includes my Microsoft license and upgrade to Copilot, but it includes some other tools as well. So I'm about $3,000 in per year, but the amount of time again that saves me over here is absolutely 100% worth it. All right. So if you were to ask me what those tools are, of course I can tell you, but I want to find tools that work for you and also work within your budget. So whatever that is that you can spend, let's find those tools. You don't have to go all in on the annual subscription. You can try many things for free. And then just for monthly stuff. And if you don't like it, move on. Move on till you find the thing that can start to habitualize your day to getting used to the AI. It's not, I say this all the time in my presentations, it's not about falling in love with a particular AI program, because that program may or may not go away tomorrow because this is changing so quickly. And it also may get bought out by somebody. Autodesk, Microsoft, you know, any of these companies may start to buy out these other companies. But you are getting comfortable with the ability to talk to AI, and you're going to get better and better at it. And it's going to put you not just your toe in the water. You know, you're going to be diving.
Dive it in. Hey, yeah. And to add to that, I think, you know, on the personal level and on the professional level, if you run a team,
look for the
repetitive tasks. Absolutely. The tasks that you don't like, but also, you know, if you're going to actually start tracking, like Kristen, like you're saying, right? And then, you know, over the week, over a month, you know, start to look for those repetitive tasks, because that's where it really starts. The rubber starts to meet the road, because if you can replace some of those repetitive tasks, you know, then that's where you start to really, really gain your time.
Yeah, we look at those. Well, we look at those little rote tasks. You know, those things are annoying to us, and absolutely AI can take that off our plate. But I also don't want to ever lose sight of the bigger picture that AI can do so much more than just like those kind of things. So. But, you know, slow steps. I'll take the slow step.
Yeah, baby steps. Baby steps, Kristen. We're just trying to get them in the door. We just want them to drink the Kool-Aid with us, right?
Gateway drug, so be it.
Exactly. Well, as everybody knows to listen to this podcast, you know, this is a sales-friendly podcast. So, Kristen, tell everybody where they can find you. Yeah. Where are you speaking at next? Is there any courses they can go find? Anything that you say, you'll send me the links. We'll put them in the show notes, folks. But then, like, where can they find you? What's the easiest way to connect with you? All those
RIA
things.
Consulting. We just do three. We do consulting. We do true consulting. We do training. And we also help with implementation. And you can find information on our website at jamideaagency.com. And the best part, just search for me on LinkedIn, Kristen, KristinKautz. Find me on LinkedIn and you may ask me anything. I could talk about AI. Ty knows. I could talk about AI all day long.
All right. Any final thoughts before we go?
Go get started. If you have not,
go get started.
Like today, right now, go get started.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. This has been fun.
Talk to you later.
Bye.